What is next for our connected world? Well, who better to ask than someone who works in the business of connectivity? So today I'm joined by David Henry, the Senior Vice President of Consumer Home Products at Netgear. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. Now, welcome to Australia. You're currently visiting and are no doubt aware that this country is crying out for better internet speeds, better connections. In your travels, what have you seen? How does Australia compare to other countries when it comes to internet technologies?
Something I found very interesting is that Australia has always led in terms of wireless connectivity. When we've Netgear's always been an innovator, and we always tend to come out with the latest wireless technologies, typically from the premium standpoint. And the Australian consumers have typically been some of the first to adopted. Now, I will say some of the broadband speeds have lagged some other parts of the world, but I think the importance that the Australian consumers have put on whatever broadband speed they're getting, making sure that they get it throughout the home, throughout the property, is probably ahead of the game.
Great. Now, of course, one of the most promising solutions in mobile connectivity is 5G. Now, many people are well aware of 3G and 4G technology and what it's done for them and what they can do with it. What is the promise of 5G?
Yeah, a few things. At first, you know, just like when you went from 3G to 4G, I mean, you're going to obviously get a lot faster, right? And the speeds will increase substantially. I think what you're going to see is there'll be a potential with 5G for the speed of the wireless networks to dwarf the speed of a wired network. So consumers will be given the choice at some point whether they want to continue to get their broadband through a wire or they want to go through a wireless, even in their homes. Now, certainly is going to be arbitrated by the laws around the world. Every country is going to take a different approach to it. But the technology is there, and the challenges with physical, copper and fiber is that it's very expensive to lay it down and to upgrade it. While it's not cheap to upgrade the wireless networks as well, it's certainly more feasible. So I think you're going to see potential that it could eventually displace some of the wired networks in some parts of the world, particularly in developing countries where the wired network isn't as deployed. I think you're also going to see applications that take advantage of 5G that just really couldn't before. One of the reasons that you see a lot of applications run locally is that there's a lot of latency to the internet, to the cloud, so to speak. But 5G actually promises latency that's much, much lower. So you'll start to see applications that just can't exist today, and some of them we can't dream up. But if you literally had zero latency connectivity to the cloud, how would applications change? And I think that's what you're going to start to see companies and technologies really take advantage. So it's pretty exciting.
Of course, I mean, a big headline around 5G is obviously, as you kind of touched on, speeds. What kind of speeds are we looking at with 5G?
Multi gigabit per second.
Yeah, compared to what we get now, that's pretty amazing. And as you also touched on there, compared to the wired solutions that are currently being rolled out or have been rolled out, certainly a step up. Now, I think that once you do have fast, great, reliable internet, a pipeline into your home, you can start thinking more about the connected home space, which is, of course, another area that Netgear is heavily involved with. Apart from, of course, manufacturing those home networking devices we're familiar with, how are you working with partnerships with the likes of Google and Amazon in this space, and where's that heading?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, the Googles and Amazons are your partners and your competitors, and I think everybody's in that same situation. But what we've done is, for example, with both Google and Amazon, they have a voice platform, Google Assistant and Amazon's Alexa, and we've worked across our product line with our home networking products, with our cameras, to make sure that they can participate in that ecosystem. So for now, if you had a Google Assistant or an Echo device in your home, you could walk up to it and say, "Hey, Alexa, what's the guest turn on the guest Wi-Fi for my friends. They just came over." And it'll turn on the guest Wi-Fi on your Netgear router. Or, "Hey, Alexa, I forgot my Wi-Fi password," and it will remind you and tell you what your Wi-Fi password. We're going to add a lot more richness to that experience. We think voice is a big opportunity to increase engagement with our products and our customers. And in order to do that, we have to look at who the leaders are in voice, and that's clearly the two that you mentioned. Outside of that, clearly both of those companies, develop products that compete with us in some spaces. You know, Amazon just purchased a camera company which competes with our Arlo cameras, and Google owns Nest, which competes as well, and Google has Wi-Fi. So, you know, it's a healthy competition and a healthy partnership with both of them.
Well, that's a great tie-in, and I was going to ask you later about how Wi-Fi, it seems it could be more complicated, but it is actually getting easier, and that voice control is a great example of how you can actually make setting up Wi-Fi, as your example, the guest Wi-Fi, much easier to do just with a voice command.
Yeah, I think voice is a big piece of it, but you know what? Something else that we're ruling very, very quickly is to move all of our customers off of a web UI to set up, install, and configure their networks and manage networks, and more towards our mobile apps. We found that the ease of use, the engagement, the interactivity that you can provide with a mobile device, like a mobile phone and a mobile app, is much better than a web UI. And you can access it wherever you are around the world. So, I mean, a great example is I'm here in Australia. I can today, right now, log into my home network with my mobile app and make sure the parental controls are armed. I can log in and see how many devices are on my network. I can turn on and off guest Wi-Fi. And if for some reason, my kids are misbehaving, I can turn off the Wi-Fi altogether for a period of time. I can do that from here in Sydney when I'm communicating with my router back in my home network back in California. So I think the mobile app experience is something that we're really driving towards. But as you mentioned, mobile app experience is certainly here today. It's going to be here tomorrow, but voice is going to be something that's going to be here for a long time.
Now, David, I'm sure there's plenty of people listening who perhaps haven't updated their home Wi-Fi router in some years. So, I mean, we talk about using an app to be able to interact with that and set that device up easily. But what are some of the key tips for anyone to ensure that they are getting the best device for speed and coverage and ease of use at home?
Yeah, I mean, I think what customers have to think about is, first of all, how many devices are on their home network at any given time? And we're seeing an average home, it's 20 plus devices that are on the network. And when you have so many devices on their network, many people don't know this, but you know, the more devices they have the tendency to slow each other down. And all it takes is one slow device to slow down the rest. So that's when you need something a lot more modern, a lot newer. So that's one thing to think about. The second thing to think about is, how much streaming are you doing? Video streaming specifically, HD video streaming, and how many screens will be doing at the same time. So if in a family, you may have 2, 3, 4, 5 people all with a smartphone or a tablet or a smart TV all streaming at the same times. And that means you need, a very mature and robust home network. The trend that we're seeing right now is something we're calling mesh networks or mesh Wi-Fi, which means instead of having one powerful Wi-Fi router in the home, you have multiple powerful Wi-Fi routers in the home, and they seamlessly can move your devices around the home to connect to the strongest connection. The best analogy would be in an office building. You know, you might have an access point, one on every floor, or two or three on every floor, and they're all connected together to one network. And as you move along around the office building, your laptop or your smartphone will connect to a different access point. This, you'll see the same thing in a hotel. Well, that same concept is being applied to the home. We were the first to launch in Australia a technology called tri-band mesh Wi-Fi. We're the first mesh network here. It's very popular, and we call it Orbi. Orbi is our mesh Wi-Fi, and that's definitely the trend. And that's really for homes where have one, a lot of devices in the home, all using at the same time. Two, a lot of video streaming. And then third is certain parts of the home. It could be, you know, a bedroom. It could be the backyard. It could be even further, where the signal is just not as strong. And how do you get that strong signal everywhere? And Orbi and mesh network seems to be the direction when it's time to upgrade your network. That's what most of you are going for.
Absolutely. And I'll have to say, David, I've actually tried out the Orbi mesh network system from Netgear last year. And we live in a two-story house, which is your typical sort of house that's going to have a lot of black spots, spots that don't get the same sort of speeds. That mesh networking system from the Orbi actually solved all of our internal networking problems. So that technology is just leaps and bounds compared to what you could get perhaps even just say 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, and I tell you, the challenge is only going to get greater. I mean, we talk about 20, 30 devices in the home. It'll be hundreds. And I'm not exaggerating. It'll be hundreds in the next 5-10 years. Everything in your home is going to be connected, and it's all going to be requiring a very low latency, strong connection. And so you're going to need a distributed mesh Wi-Fi system eventually.
It doesn't surprise me. I actually just logged into my router here on my mobile device, and I've got 28 devices hooked up at the moment. So
there you go.
Now, of course, in recent years, Netgear has also developed some flagship products that are solely aimed at gamers. So how does a pro gaming Wi-Fi router differ from something like the Orbi router that you've got?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. I mean, we've learned in the last few years that that competitive online gaming, I mean, which means people who not just play games, they play online, and it's serious to them. They may not do it for a living, but it's serious. It's a big piece of how they spend time. It's becoming more and more popular. This is no longer just a niche. This is not your teenage son in his room playing with his buddies. This is all ages. It's all demographics. It's male. It's female. And it's really, truly global. This is something that's happening across the world in every country. Online gaming has become a critical part of people, how people entertain themselves and how people socialize with each other. All right. And so what we've seen is that most of these popular games are what we call first-person shooter or even third-person shooter games, which are action-packed games like Call of Duty, like Counter-Strike Go, Fortnite, and others. And in those games, lag, network lag, really is the difference between winning and losing. And because of that, you know, people are spending a ton of money on anything they can buy in their home, in their gaming ecosystem, to improve their chances of winning. So historically, what's that been? You know, higher-end PCs for gaming. It's been gaming keyboards, gaming mice, gaming headsets for comfort, gaming chairs. And people will invest because they really want to win. It's serious to them. So we realize that, wow, this is a big opportunity because there's really no more important part of the gaming experience than the home network. All those other peripherals I talked about, the mouse, the keyboard, the PC, they're all critical, but they don't address the primary source of lag, right? And that happens to be on the home network, and we can address that with our pro gaming is the software and hardware that can eliminate lag on the home network so that when you shoot, you hit. There's no lag in between.
It does save a lot of gamers quite a bit of stress when it comes to getting the win, like you say.
You got it. And so that's why, I mean, one of the reasons I'm here in Australia and Sydney this week is we're having a major launch event for a new product line that we call Nighthawk Pro Gaming. These are wireless networking products that give customers the ability to optimize that network for gaming. So, for example, there's a lot of technology and a lot of features there, but just one, I'll give you an example, is if you're here in Sydney and you want to play to an online game, you want to connect to a server or a host that's relatively local. You probably don't want to connect to a server that happens to be in London, because then every packet is traveling quite a distance. But you don't get to choose that in the game. The game chooses that for you. But with Nighthawk Pro Gaming, we have something called a geofilter. So what we've done is you can actually specify, hey, for that Xbox or that PlayStation or that gaming PC, it will only connect to hosts within a certain geography or a certain radius in terms of miles or kilometers from where I am. So you can ensure that you have a local connection. And when you have a local connection, you have a much less chance to have lag and jitter. You have much less chance to get dropped off the connection altogether. And that's just one of many features that are optimized to make sure you've addressed all those different sources of pain points, whether they're on the home network, whether they're on the WAN to LAN connection, or they're out there in the internet, like this I mentioned, connecting to the wrong server.
Sounds great in the world of gaming, but of course, taking a step back to home Wi-Fi connectivity for everyone, there's a lot of information to take on board, a lot of products out there. What's the best resource for tips on finding the best Wi-Fi device?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's two ways to go, and one is, you know, we put a lot of material online today.
Right.
We invest a lot in videos because we've learned that, I mean, there's a generation now who doesn't read the instructions. They want to watch the video. So you look for Netgear in YouTube, and you'll find tons and tons of videos, many developed by us, but some developed by third parties who just recognize that, you know, what Netgear's done is very unique, and they'll spend time explaining our products. So that's the first place I go. And then, of course, you know, your traditional retailers, we spend a lot of time and energy training those store representatives and JB and Harvey Normans, et cetera, to make sure they can articulate what is the value of our products and why it might make a fit. And certainly we don't want to sell something that's beyond what a customer needs. They'll just return it. We want to make sure that we understand what the customer needs and then sell to that. And so that's the partnership we have with our big retailer partners.
Always good for something like that to actually chat with someone who knows something about the product rather than just shopping on price alone, hey?
Yeah. One last place that that we've seen growing very, very quickly is the Netgear community. We've got an online community. It's a worldwide community customers go online and tell their stories and exchange ideas. They can troubleshoot together. They can just talk about use cases together. So there's a ton of information out there. And I think it really depends on, for a consumer standpoint, what's most natural to you. Do you prefer to talk to someone in person? Then go into the retail shop. That's what they do. They live for it. Do you prefer to do it? Do you prefer to watch a video? That's what I like to do. But then there's some people who'd like, you know what? I like to read the boards. I like to interact back and forth with other customers. There's a million ways to do it, but find what's most comfortable for you.
Great, David. Some good tips there, and thanks again for coming on Tech Daily today.
Hey, thanks for having me.